This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast, we want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 499 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, I think I said it. It's 499. We're going to be talking about the things that we've experienced or the things that have been happening at the parks over the last decade. To help me do that, I've got a full crew tonight. First, we've got Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Hello. How are you, Ed?
Doing well. Doing well.
Very happy to be here. Excited to talk about this.
Very cool. We did have to do a little homework for tonight's show, meaning I told them what we might be talking about a little beforehand. So we're going to see how it goes. We also have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys. For the record, my cat ate my homework.
That's not going to count. You're still on, still on the clock. We also have Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going? Welcome back to this side of the ocean.
Thank you so much, Ed and everyone. Glad to be here tonight. I've missed y'all.
Yeah, very much so. And we also have Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
What's up, Ed, Jimmy, Morgan, Charlotte, everybody? This really is a full house tonight. Yeah. How are we doing?
I feel like the Brady Bunch song should be playing because right now we're watching everybody on video. So we're all, you know, these little squares.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
It's great to see each other. Lisa.
I don't think that. I think it's more Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy.
That's it.
All I know is that works. All I know is Charlotte went to Disneyland Paris and did not invite me.
You're always invited, but you have to pay for your ticket to Paris. So there you go.
Charlotte, you were in Paris and you got to Disneyland Paris for a little while. How'd it go?
It went great. I joked with my crewmates that it was the best day ever. It was a fantastic day. We really only had about 7 hours in the parks, but the amount of stuff that we were able to do in 7 hours was incredible. The parks were not very crowded. We got there and we went to the Walt Disney Studios first, which I guess is Disneyland Paris's edition of Hollywood Studios, because there's a lot of movie stuff there. There's a lot of Avengers stuff there, which is really cool to see because we can't have that Avengers stuff here in Florida. And most of it, exactly. So for the Avenger fans, they really love that. They were having their own mini food and wine festival there, which was really neat. I got to taste a little bit of their stuff there. And they have a mini Cars Land at that park, which is cute. And they have the Crush Coaster at that park, which is, we don't have that in the States at all. It was super cool. Way more zippy and thrilling than I thought it was going to be. Really, really fun. I was like,
it's kind of like the Guardians in that you do kind of move around on that roller coaster where the car moves around and kind of spins, but it curves around as you're going around turns and stuff.
It definitely does. That was really cool.
I saw just your short little reel of just it coming out the building, and I'm like, wow, that does looks like a lot of fun.
That's the line.
It was.
It passes everybody waiting online as you're getting ready for it.
Yeah, it was, that was really fun. And then we, after we left Walt Disney Studios, we walked over to Disneyland Paris, and it was beautiful. My goodness, the colors are so pretty, the pinks and the blues, and the castle is just so pretty. Main Street, there was a lot of neat things in Main Street I took some pictures of. They had this stained glass that showed the Statue of Liberty for us and the year that France gave it to us, which was a really, I thought that was really cool. They have their own Casey's Corner there. So, and it, and the park of course is laid out just like we expect it to be, but the theming is a little bit different. Some they're like their Haunted Mansion is not called Haunted Mansion. It's Phantom Manor, and it's amazing. It is, the story of it is just mind boggling. And I loved it so much. I thought it was, it might be the best Haunted Mansion there is.
Slow down.
The story, like, I'm not even going to tell you.
It's not Haunted Mansion. It's just a great attraction.
It is. It is a theme. It is a fantastic theme. And Big Thunder Mountain is amazing. It is the most thrilling Big Thunder Mountain you would ever have a chance to ride. Like, I that's why I barely have a voice today, because I screamed my head off on that.
better than Disneyland? Because I think Disneyland takes the cake.
I think it might be better than Disneyland.
Paris has the fun tunnels in it, in that you go underneath the river to actually get to the roller coaster on the island in the middle. So just that coolness factor of having going underneath that is so cool.
And it's so dark. And I mean, it is really amazing. And their Space Mountain is entirely different too. It's also, it's themed to Star Wars, but it has that rocket propulsion when you start off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just so much. Wow. It was fantastic. They actually serve champagne in the park at Disneyland Paris, which
of course they do.
It's Paris.
Yeah.
So I of course had a glass of champagne as I sat and watched the drone show, the nightly drone show, which precedes the fireworks show. And their fireworks are nothing like we have here in the States. Nothing. They're kind of okay. Mm-hmm. But the drone show was super cool. Anything I'd ever seen before.
You guys can check that out over on the Disney Nerds podcast page over on Facebook. And we're going to soon get that up on YouTube also.
Awesome. It was very fun. We had a great time. A little tip. They do have their own version of the Disability Access Pass services that we have here in the States. So if you go and you need something like that, you just go to guest services. Instead of, they don't have magic bands. So they give you actually like a little ID card with your picture. And you present that at every ride. And it's very, they're so accommodating, just like they are here. It was a wonderful day. I can't wait to have another Paris layover, because now that I know how easy it was to get to and to do, I will definitely be doing it again and again.
Mm-hmm. Is it basically just a train ride away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just a train ride away from my hotel. I'm near the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. That's where our crew hotel is. And from there, it's about a 40-minute ride to Disneyland Paris. And, you know, you take a nice baguette or sandwich and something to drink and have a little snack on the way, and you're ready to hit the pavement going. But it was a lot of fun. The crowd level was really good. The weather was beautiful. It rained minutely, but it was not bad. And Tower of Terror has a different theming as well. It's Tower of Terror. It is Twilight Zone, but there are some additions there that are creepy and spooky and fantastic. That was another thing that I absolutely loved. I loved the things that were different. And I will advise, if you want to see the dragon under the castle, you have to go early, because they close it off really early because they have to prepare for the nighttime shows. And I never got to see it. So I'm going to go back. So, 'cause I have to see Maleficent. That's a must.
there was so much to that castle upstairs and downstairs that there's just a lot of thought went into that one.
Yeah, so I've got to go back just so I can explore that castle.
Okay, well, very cool. I wasn't jealous before, I am now. Jeez.
Well, you can come with me.
Why
and
did I
Jimmy.
Get
and
we go.
Jimmy.
Right. Now, if you're interested, we do have a couple of videos on the YouTube channel for the Disney Nerds from Disneyland Paris that we have out there. But even if you don't see it on ours, there's so many videos of the rides over there. There, Tokyo, Hong Kong, all over the Disney properties. So you can experience some of these rides at places you're never going to get to because the differences are very, very cool to see.
Let's not say never, you know, because
yeah, right.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Say never.
I think that's
very cool.
True. I think that's true even just, you know, going to Disneyland, like our friends Chris and Stephanie Hill are in Disneyland right now. And just the things you get to go there and see that are different, it's kind of like, it's pretty awesome, the things that are different. Like the pirates there is just a little bit different, but it's cool to see, you notice it right away.
I love that pirates.
Yeah.
That's my favorite pirates.
Nice. Well, very cool. As far as other news going on, you know what? We're not even going to do that. Let's just go right into the show. Okay, guys. So what we're going to talk about tonight is, and we don't really have an opportunity to do this often with the same group of people, but we're going to take a look about we're going to take a look back at the last decade of things that have gone on in the Disney properties, mainly Walt Disney World, and kind of discuss where they were and where they are now. So what do you guys think?
That sounds good.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, very cool. So what we're going to discuss, and actually we're going to figure this out as we're going along, but as I'm setting this up, the big thing that stuck out to me is that, you know, Disney continues adding attractions. That's the whole name of the game. Walt was like, we're going to keep adding, we're going to keep changing it up. Cool. That's part of the game. But over the last decade, it seems that the Walt Disney properties and even Disneyland and the other ones have actually, instead of adding attractions, started adding entire lands. And we are the benefit of that. The downside was it takes a little longer for these things to come about. So you get to watch it go for like 4 or 5 years. But the results, as we're going to talk about tonight, were pretty great.
Absolutely.
So now the one we're going to go back, I think, the longest with, in just so everybody out there remembers, this is our 10th year. We did our first show September 17th, 2013. And that was right in the middle of the Fantasyland and the Magic Kingdom expansion. And as that was going on, we were able to see the different things that were coming out. There were a lot of changes. There was a lot of real estate that wasn't being used. There was a lot of real estate that was repurposed. And I think it came out pretty well. So we're going to kind of go and discuss what is the ultimate outcome now. I think it was the Nemo, Captain Nemo's, the 20,000 Leagues was finally filled in and replaced.
So that was filled in before and made into Pooh's Playful Spot.
That's right. Yep. And then
incorporated yeah. Seven into Dwarfs. The makeover.
Yeah. And then so, and you know, I kind of brought it up before we started recording because I was thinking about things that went away in the past 10 years. And we mentioned, we talked a little bit about Snow White's Scary Adventure, which was a classic dark ride that still exists in Disneyland. So technically that one disappeared about 11 years ago, but to usher in that new Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and new Fantasyland, which was a big, huge deal.
Right. That attraction was the draw. Still is.
Yeah. Still is.
Yeah. Still is. For some strange reason, it is. Well, the Snow White Scary, the ride over there, wasn't it the Princesses now? Isn't that where they have the meet and greets for the ladies?
Yep.
For the little girls, I mean, and the princesses?
Yep. Princess Hall, I believe.
Do you think that
Fairy
was
Tale
a
Hall.
Do you think that was a worthwhile change at this point? I mean, I've never been in there. I never sat through it or had the little girls who wanted to go through it.
Yeah,
I've been in there.
Okay.
I've been in there with my daughters, and I've been in there with my girlfriends when we've done the Princess Marathon races. And while it's nice and cute with a dedicated spot to meet the princesses, I would like to have Snow White Scary Adventures back.
Right, fair enough. And Disney didn't remove it, so it's not like Disney said it was too scary a ride to have.
Right.
Yeah.
It's you know, it was just a nice homage to the what started it all, or the princess that began it all. And I, as someone who loves Snow White, I loved that ride. And I do miss it, and I'm glad that Disneyland still has it. So, and I hope they keep it for a while. But you've got to think that with the way the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is in Fantasyland, and you can go from there right across over to Princess to Fairy Tale Hall and meet the princesses after you're all dressed up. I mean, it's definitely for a lot of little girls that. That is a, and little boys too, but that's a very popular addition for them. And it's a lot of memories.
I mean, I remember when it first opened up, like the wait time was the longest, but I mean, I'm kind of with you on the same thing. Like I would prefer an attraction, but it is nice. Especially, you know, as Jimmy can attest to, us as travel agents, when they're like, oh, my kid's favorite character is, you know, such and such princess or whatever. We tell them, okay, your best shot is seeing who's at, you know, Fairy Tale Hall or whatever that day. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a good and a bad, a pro and a con, all wrapped up into one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't really do that much for me because my, you know, my kids were kind of older when that changed, but. Yeah, you know, I can definitely see one day that being an important thing. One day when I have a granddaughter or grandson that wants to go meet the princesses, and you can do it all in one spot. It's a pretty good idea.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. How about the land itself? As far as the Little Mermaid, Ariel's Adventure, that to me is another one of those you can ride it almost any time of the day rides, which yeah. Magic Kingdom actually has about a half dozen of those, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's very well done.
And I think the thing we don't take into account is the lift and land that they did with Dumbo.
Yes, I was going
to. Yes.
I was just about to say the Dumbo too, the second spinner.
I mean, that's one thing. I mean, like, I don't remember my first trip to Magic Kingdom or Walt Disney World together, but that is one thing I remember as a kid, walking through the castle and seeing Dumbo and riding the Dumbo attraction with mom or my cousins or whoever was with me at that time. So I mean, like, I remember when that moved, it was like an adjustment. It was like, wait, whoa, where's Dumbo, where to go?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But yeah, I mean, like, it's nice that, and especially when they did the queue, because like they completely, I feel like that's when the queue system really changed, where it was like, absolutely. No, you don't have to wait in line now. The kids can go play.
Yep. I was waiting patiently mm-hmm. to say the same thing. It was the yeah. beginning of those big interactive queues that just got better and better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, now what's cool is we know that whole circus area is going to get another little attraction. It's going to get that. Smell offense attraction is going to be like a hide and seek scavenger hunt thing that got announced last month. So that'll be interesting. Kind of gives them something else to do before mm-hmm. they ride Dumbo.
And I love that splash pad over there with the circus train. So yeah, cute.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
I think that's also one of the better stores, one of the better shops.
Yeah.
It's a hidden gem in my opinion. Not a lot of people go back there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Big Top souvenirs.
Yep. Yes.
And also a lot of people don't realize, but like I think it's behind it near the splash pad, there's a covered area that I guess like they kind of did for parents to be able to sit in shade and watch the kids splash around, or the kids can change like go in the bathroom or whatever, but like it's also a nice kind of quiet area,
mm-hmm.
which is really good for like people that have a lot of, you know, you make it a sensory overload and you just kind of need to like take a people break. It's a little quieter there. You can go sit down and just relax for a minute. Mm-hmm. So they have all these little hidden gems back there that not a lot of people know about.
Okay, right. There's a charging station there.
Yep.
Nice, clean, big bathroom. The train station's there. It's a great area. I miss Toontown over there. Or it wasn't really Toontown. It was Mickey's Country Fair.
Right.
Or something like that. Houses. Yeah, the houses were so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lovely area. And I have to say about the Big Top souvenirs, the past couple of years had, since COVID hit, that the store had really suffered. They had taken away a lot of stuff. They had put in, it just was not the same. And the last time I went, so much has been added back that it's so nice to see it coming back to life, because it was that hidden gem of a store. When they first opened it, my daughters and I all proclaimed that this was the best store on property now besides Emporium. So
it wasn't insanely busy. It has that, has the, like a mini confectionery back there.
Right.
Just, right, where they serve food and drinks and stuff like that.
It's just so good with the seating area in the store. Like, it's really is. Well, let's stop talking about it, because I really enjoy it.
I'm ready to go. Meet me there.
I have a video of it. I did a walkthrough, and I've been trying to get it to YouTube. So, guys, you can look for that on YouTube also at our channel.
Real quick, I think we missed some kind of big things also about New Fantasyland, like Gaston's Tavern and Be Our Guest Restaurant.
Yeah.
Along with the Beauty and the Beast attraction there, the story time with Bennett, I think it's a hidden gem. I think it's an incredible attraction, walking through the magic mirror and all that stuff. I mean, it's really cool.
It's the first time you ever saw that type of technology, the magic mirror, where you just kind of paused and went, wait, what just happened?
I still don't think I exactly know what happened. Yeah. Okay.
So, honestly, I think we actually need to get a group of us together where it's like majority Disney nerds to go through that attraction, because how cool would that be for like somebody we all know to be picked for, you know, a character to help tell Belle the story. Like, I think that would be awesome.
That's the memories that you have there. So when that opened, you know, the kids were little, Ian was the Beast. Like, I've got a great picture of Ian roaring at Belle. Like, it's just, it's fantastic.
Ian.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish up, please. I'm sorry.
No, just with the girls were Chip and the Cups, and it's a fantastic memory.
I got to be the armoire at one time. So
it may have been the last time I went on it, which has been a while. But I was going on it with me and Kim and my cousin Michelle and Hilliard, and I was trying desperately to get Hilliard selected, which I did. But then I also got myself selected that way. So we got to be knights, which was pretty cool. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And then I think also Be Our Guest Restaurant, although it's overpriced, I think what it is to that go is. There once.
It's an experience.
Oh, the experience. It's
the experience of it just going one time is pretty darn incredible.
Right. Yeah, agreed. I totally agree with that.
Luckily, I've gone twice before they changed it to the prefix menu, but man, like...
Oh, lunch was a hidden gem there before.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like, it was.
I really wish that they would go back to the lunch or...
The a la carte?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's still on my bucket list. I mean, I've said it before, like, that is a movie that's near and dear to me and my boyfriend and our relationship. So, like, I have to take him there once.
Sure.
I just won't let him see the receipt for how much we paid for the food.
Yeah, well, just as long as you get the steak.
Yeah.
And this is actually a good point to bring this up. There was a little bit of news also that came out this past week I read, and it's a policy change at Walt Disney World for the quick service restaurants where they will not serve your drinks with a cover or a straw unless you ask for it. And the reasoning behind that is unclear, actually, is that there was two reasons in my article. There was one, it was economical, meaning they don't have to buy as many of those lids and straws if you don't want to wait in line to get them again if you miss it. And the other one is, of course, to save the environment, because birds are choking on them and other seals are choking on them in the oceans. So one of the things that I've noticed over the last decade with food and food services at Walt Disney World, which unfortunately is just a trend everywhere, is that portions have gotten smaller, prices have gotten bigger. As far as the quick services went, table services pretty much stayed the same over a decade. I thought they'd been pretty good, if not even gotten better. My only complaint about the quick services is we don't have those great stories about the Starlight Grill. What's the place in Tomorrowland?
Cosmic Rays.
Cosmic Rays. The big story I had 10 years ago was I can get half a chicken and ribs and like sides, and you had that whole sidebar to even get another plate worth of crap on it for $14 or something.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing over at Flame Tree and different places. It seemed like the meals were much bigger, Now they're very not small. I was at Hollywood Studios Backlot Express. I got the rice bowl with teriyaki chicken. I had to ask, is this a child serving? Because it was that small. I was just not expecting it.
I personally think that one reason they did that was because those hidden places or the hidden things on the menus that a lot of people didn't realize were starting to become more popular with social media and message boards and things like that. And people were realizing we can order this big meal and split it to two, to three.
We told too many people. Damn, yeah,
I was about to say, Ed, you ruined the half a chicken and
did it to myself.
Yeah. Ed with his YouTube videos. Like, yeah, let's just stop.
Because the portions are much smaller. And the portions are smaller, but also the flavors are of a lot of things are less, you know, impactful. My favorite dish used to be the seared tuna noodle salad in Sunshine Seasons. It was spicy. It had a lot of flavor and kick to it. And the past couple of times, it's not had any,
it's not spicy.
It's
not spicy anymore.
There's no spicy to it. And I was talking to a chef when we were doing one of the media events a couple of years ago, and it was Food and Wine, Flower and Garden. And they said they had too many complaints about that dish being too spicy, so they had to tame it down. And they were having that happen in a lot of places throughout the park, especially for quick service meals. And
damn Yankees.
I think that's one of the biggest things that's happened in the past 10 years, besides the reduction of the sizes, is that we've lost a lot of flavor in our quick service meals.
And yeah. I think in the quick service, because they have to make it for the masses. I agree with that, yep. Though. And a lot of the, I think in the other direction, a lot of the table services have kind of done more flavor and more.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and, you know, so.
A far more eclectic menu.
Yep. But more limited menus, though, on table. Yeah. If I got to say anything about table services, the menus have become more limited.
I'm at a point right now where if I go to book something that I either haven't been to in a while or haven't been to at all, I'm checking the menu before I go because there are certainly some places that I know I probably want to try. But when I pull up the menu, I'm like, God, there is nothing I'm going to order on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the big hits was the Kona Cafe up at the Polynesian. The menu was diner-like at one point, where you can get almost anything, and it has definitely come down to like very limited. And I think it was COVID that did that to a lot of these places. If I got to kind of name when it happened or kind of pick a time,
agreed.
Because they had those limited menus during it.
Well, they had to get lean. They had to get really lean.
Sure. And let's face it, food costs have gone up. It's nationwide. It's not just a Disney thing. Right. So I mean I remember I used to just order like a kid's meal at quick service, and like because it was like the same size as an adult, I was good. But they've even like brought the kids to just like that basic chicken nuggets, hamburger, which I'm an adult. I don't want chicken nuggets and hamburger. I want my tuna noodles and
That's why they did that. It's kind of the same as the restaurants. Like, the kids' meals aren't that much different at each of the places as much as they were at one point.
Yeah, right. I honestly, at this point now, unless I'm in Epcot, because there's always a festival. I'm
well, that's what you do. That's where the taste went, Epcot.
Epcot.
But I'm more inclined to do a table service in the other parks now, just so I can get... Well, the only one I rarely do a table service is Animal Kingdom, because I'm still okay with Santuli Canteen.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's certainly one of the better quick service places on property.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Animal Kingdom has a couple. It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, let's move on to the Animal Kingdom because what they did over at the Animal Kingdom, I think, was an incredible experience. And that kind of made the way over at Hollywood Studios, what we're going to talk about after, that much more possible. Over at the Animal Kingdom, they took away a big chunk of what we had seen for the longest time, not the most exciting area, and introduced us to the world of Pandora.
So what did we really lose there? They relocated Festival of the Lion King, obviously. Right. So you lost
Camp Minnie Mickey.
Camp Minnie Mickey and the Pocahontas show.
mm-hmm. or whatever the show was last there. Was that Pocahontas was last?
I think so. I don't think it ever changed. So.
Well, Tarzan was before it, wasn't
Tarzan
it?
Tarzan was before that.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't sure if there was another one after it. But yeah, so no, there wasn't really a lot there. It was more like an educational little corner of nothing. So I think this one was an easy like win as far as what they did. As far as the attractions, I'm cool thumbs up on both of them. Mm-hmm. Avatar Flight of Passage is probably my favorite ride still in the parks over all of the new ones even. The Navi River, that's again another ride you can get on when you need to get on a ride.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I think they took those two attractions kind of took it kind of like to be in a really like almost less than a half day park to maybe a little more than a half day park.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I mean, Navi River's changed, fine.
I think it overall changed the operating hours of that park as well, because true. Animal Kingdom used to be your early morning until noon, 1, 2 o'clock. And now there's a lot of, like the bioluminescence over in Pandora, and
right.
really, I've said time and time again that to ride Everest at night is like a completely different. It's like a completely yeah. different ride. Sure. So really, it has made Animal Kingdom, albeit an insanely dark park at night, mm-hmm. right. like miss the lighting portion of yeah. of those hours. It's still it's a really cool after the sun goes down park.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. Last March for Run Disney's Springtime Surprise, their 5K was running through Animal Kingdom at, I think we went at 11 o'clock at night. And you don't realize how dark it is until you run. But on the flip side of that, like, I'm running through Pandora with all the bioluminescence. Like, it's a completely different experience than the daytime.
Sure, definitely. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And Pandora was the first time, or not the first time, but it's a major advancement in Disney's immersive lands where you yeah. are on Pandora. As soon mm-hmm. as you leave either the Africa side or coming in from Discovery Island, you start hearing the noises of the woods. You start hearing the music. The plants change. Right. And you feel like you're off planet very, very much. They keep up the imagination of that. And I think, again, that's what made Hollywood Studios new lands that much better, because it works so well over Pandora.
Absolutely.
Also, you have to admit, like, if you've never walked into Pandora before, and obviously you have to have at least seen the first movie, you walk in there and you see the floating mountains, you're like, how did they do, like, I remember that was my first thing. I just looking up, like, jaw on the ground, like, how'd they do that? That's so cool. Like, sure. It's amazing.
It's a beautiful land. It is yeah. so picturesque. Like, I go in there with my camera and I could be in there for hours just taking different pictures, because yeah. it is so beautiful and so unique.
And I feel like you see something different every time with the botanicals sure. that like interact, and it's just really mm-hmm. cool.
It is super cool.
Very much so. Animal Kingdom, it seems over the past decade, has picked up a lot of entertainment. You see people walking around making music everywhere. Every different land has their type of music. Since pandemic, we have only thing left on the rivers or the lake are the pontoon boats with characters saying hello to everybody. But
which
that
I
lake
like
itself,
and I hope they never get rid of.
Right. No, that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's cute.
Doing that. But that lake itself has gone through a lot of gyrations in the last decade. We've lived through a lot of announcements of what's coming. We've been through a lot of openings, and we've been through a lot of closing. Mm-hmm. A lot, like, maybe two or three, I think, different incarnations it's been. It's great to keep trying.
They're so limited on what they can do with the live animals in that park and stuff like that. So they can't do anything with fireworks or anything like that. So they're kind of. No, handicapped on what they can actually do.
Sure. The nighttime light up stuff I thought was great.
Trees? Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was really cool. I think they realized. Yeah, that was great. I do think the kite show that they had, while it could have been great, it probably seemed better on paper than in actuality, because the wind would pick it up. They would
That was the best. Show. That was the best watch, Charlotte.
Watching
the kites land in the trees and the cast members trying to figure out how to get them out the trees.
Bless your heart. Nice.
I remember a couple times watching it like, wait, what is that kite supposed to be?
I don't think it's supposed to be doing that.
That was like the best. That was the best part. Like watching it get close. Like, ooh, it's gonna crash. Oh no, it made it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they don't give up. They keep working at it. Yeah. Something is gonna stick. They're gonna find something that's gonna work. Maybe the drones. Maybe they'll bring the drones over there and do a drone show on in that little theater. Because I mean, birds would that affect the animals?
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
it's a huge amphitheater and everything. They got
it really is
seating over there. I mean,
they need to do something with it.
Why can't they do World of Color?
You go watch World of Color, and it's just everything Rivers of Light could be, but just vomited
they
all
just sit.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a copy of World of Color, but they could do something similar. Like with Rivers of Light, it could have been Disney IP, but they just. Nope, we're just going to do a lion. It won't be anything Lion King. We're just going to be a random lion. But why?
There's so many different Disney IPs that they can put into a show besides Lion King, obviously. Pocahontas. Like, obviously, they can pull some Avatar. You know,
Jungle Book.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jungle Book. I mean, WALL-E even. Like, they can pull so much that there's no reason why. I'm sure in some room somewhere in Imagineering, there is a couple game plans.
Well, sure.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of blue sky projects.
In Animal Kingdom, I think the one plan going on now is how to get rid of Dino Land. How to keep dinosaur, but somehow get rid of the land. It seems like when I was there, the hot dog place in the carnival is gone, or at least the last when I was down there. That was kind of nice.
Burn it down.
And
the keep dinosaur.
The one roller coaster is gone, and there's nothing's replaced it. It's just the blue fence now.
Redo dinosaur and make it into Indiana Jones like Disneyland.
That's a great idea.
Yes, make that happen. Yes.
We'll talk about
it. It would still work in Animal Kingdom.
Sure, it would.
It would.
Yeah. You could do a whole little Indiana Jones themed area back there, which fits perfectly in Animal Kingdom.
You can even keep the boneyard and everything because it's like an archaeological dig.
100%.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
Okay, somebody call the Imagineers.
Ed's just got
to. They need to listen to us.
Ed says it. It happens.
Well, Ed didn't say it. You said it. So Ed now has.
One of the other little tidbits of news that came out this week was about the Moana tests. They're bringing people through the Moana land over at Epcot, which is going to be the next park we're going to talk about the things over the last decade, and they are looking like they're having a blast. One of the things I want to point out is one of the attractions we kind of didn't show it, but we kind of assumed it was going to be there, and it is, was that water xylophone thing where the water comes down and you put your hands through it, and as you go from right to left, the notes go different tones and pitches. And
cool.
Stuff like that.
Actually, there is a TikTok video because I saw it, and they do have that where the water is a musical instrument. So they did show it really quick in the TikTok video I saw. Mm-hmm. So it's there. It's really cool. Like, part of me wishes I didn't watch the video, but I'm glad I did. But now I just need to be open because I want my picture with Tafiti.
Yes. So
apparently there's two paths you can take through. One that you probably will get somewhat wet, and some one that if you want to stay dry. So, which is cool because a lot of the kids and stuff, they like the splash pads and the, you know, those type of things. Whereas I don't want to be wet.
But we'll
hear Stacy from the Disney Channel. You're gonna get wet,
right?
Again, something else that's been missing in the last decade are those great videos of what the world works like that. They seem to have repeated them for a while. Okay, so we're at Epcot, and Epcot has kind of been going back and forth with their updates and such like that, where they announced a lot, they pulled back a lot, and they started releasing and opening things in pieces in the last probably like a couple of years. Remy came out of that. Guardians of the Galaxy came out of that. What else do you remember from Epcot as far as the last decade that stood out? What else?
Prior to all that was the big Frozen edition.
Oh, right. That's true. That's right. Yep. The Maelstrom going away, which was the big uproar.
I was very upset bringing in the new.
I am still very bitter.
I know. Bring me. I love Maelstrom. No, I mean, Frozen's just.
I still have a little salt.
I think back on it now, Maelstrom was more like about the abusing the ride, how fun it was to abuse it going through it, because it was a fun little log flume, and then you got to go see, you know, Norway in the 1970s.
Fair enough.
You walked through Norway.
In Norway, and the ride was like, hey, we have trolls and oil rigs.
And they kept going big troll, you know. And as you go through Frozen, you kind of feel where you were when you were in Maelstrom too. You find, you know, mm-hmm, where you were. They kept the little city, the little town at the end when you got off.
Yeah,
the boat.
So yeah, that was that's cool. Yeah,
that was cool. Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, it was probably a good update that they did for that. They have that whole meet and greet over there that's always crowded. The restaurant mm-hmm. itself, it's back open again. The
bakery.
Well, what's across from the bakery?
Akershus.
The sit down, right?
Akershus.
Yes.
Right. Akershus. With their meet and mm-hmm. greets. And that's been through their princesses for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that was definitely a good change up. Now, that's cool. That's kind of like the old time. Let's just change the ride out and stick something new in there and make it themed up a little bit.
Well, but they did more than that, though, because they built that whole area where to the left of it, where the meet and greet is and the new store is.
Well, true.
So that all was built. That there was nothing there. So that was kind of
right.
Nice.
Yeah, good point. But it's not as immersive as these other lands where you got to walk through.
No, the truth.
If you don't go to a meet and greet, you don't see any of that.
Yeah.
But I feel like kind of cool to walk and see those buildings, even if you don't do the meet and greet.
It's got a great little seating area, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Right there.
Now, I mean,
and one of the better bathrooms.
Yeah. I do still wish that it was a little bit more Norway and a little less Arendelle. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's right. just me. Well, I feel like they could have been a happy medium.
It's one of that's the same. True.
That's true. But that was Norway's fault, because Norway had the opportunity to re-up and sponsor the pavilion again. And it would have been all Norway, but they didn't want to do that. So Disney's going to stick IP in there to make all the little princesses happy.
And that was
it. Works out. It really worked out to Disney's favor. To be
fair. Yeah, it did.
I mean, minus
that was
the money.
Beginning of the IP coming into Epcot, mm-hmm. and now we're seeing it in more and more lands. The IP is there, and the guests are loving it.
Yeah, I'm okay.
It brings the kids up. It doesn't matter that Jimmy, his kids are old, but it does bring the kids up into the World Showcase where kids were not, KidCot was not doing it.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I'm okay with it.
And they'd get as far as Norway, and then they shoot back over to Future World. So now with Ratatouille being all the way over in France, you got the kids doing the full circuit now.
Yeah, yeah. You can spin all the way around.
And I think there's definitely room for another one in the next decade. Japan still has those plans and room behind it. There's always something else they can probably pull into there. We'll see.
I mean, Japan does have the new restaurant that, you know, got built that you have to pay an arm and a leg.
Nope. Nobody here can afford to eat there.
That's
so
right.
Let's not even talk about it.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
So now
you did just go to France. So
yeah.
Yeah, but the work paid for it.
Very bougie.
Charlotte, when Jimmy's not around, we'll just go me and you. Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Right. So now, over the last decade, we also got a new version of Soarin'. I think that's an easy one for me to say was not a good update.
Boo hiss. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I agree. I want to have an option to see the California version.
I don't even want the option. You can take your bent Eiffel Tower and send it back to France.
I think that's so bullshit. You're not in the middle.
You know,
I was just
talking to Charlotte the other day. She said the actual Eiffel Tower is bent. That's why.
Great. Can you take it up to Cairo and tell me whether or not the pyramids are bent too? Because the whole world feels like I'm sitting in the middle of a Matchbox 20 song. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah. Right.
The original Soarin' cannot be replaced. I mean, it is fantastic. It was what introduced us to that kind of ride, that kind of immersion with the smell and everything just coming together and our senses being... It smells we like, exactly. Yeah. It just, our senses were awake in so many levels. I like this new Soarin'.
You can take all that and shove it, bring back the fighter jets.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Still makes my hair stand on end.
That's true.
I even miss the traffic on the highways of LA. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Any part of that was better than the one that's now. And California, I think, brought back the old one for a little
while. They did. So that's an interesting. I was about to say that. So why can't Walt Disney World bring back the old one?
They did bring it back. And Angela and I were there when it was brought back. I couldn't have been more excited. I was stoked to have been able to enjoy that.
Like, why the hell do they need to fly over California? They're in California.
Yeah. I feel like we need the option.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. We need the option. Some days you want the crooked Eiffel Tower. Some days you want the fire jets and the citrus.
Treat it like it should be Soarin' red and Soarin' green, like it is Mission Space green and Mission Space orange.
You know,
like,
people got to scream more. Now, I tell you what, there was one silver lining with the whole Soarin' in the last decade. They added a third bay. So now you have three directions to go when you go on Soarin', and the lines have never been long since.
No, it really is.
45 minutes tops. I haven't seen them higher than that, which is crazy because Soarin' was the place to go.
I think I've only been in the new theater like once or twice.
Yeah,
I mean, always get shifted left or right.
Yeah, the new theater is straight, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the new theater is where they show the original one.
It's where we went when you were here with Caitlin, right? No, when you were here with Caitlin and I went on with Caitlin, we went straight, and all I could think of was it was a long walk out. Like, it's a long walk out of that one.
That's a valid point, yeah, because it's far away from everything else.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a tram service? You know?
Yeah. Right.
Tried to Uber my way back to.
Which, real quick, do you have to say? I am glad we got the announcement with like last week that trams are back. They're coming back next month to Epcot and Hollywood. Studios. So
nothing could have made me more happy to hear that after having walked from the complete far end of the Epcot parking lot to America.
Yeah, Epcot, when they let you in the morning now, puts you all the way over behind Guardians of the Galaxy. They put you all the way on the left side of the parking lot. That the walk just to get to where the monorail is ridiculous. I mean, you go up, you have to go straight up.
Probably could have walked over from Hollywood Studios quicker.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was right behind the Guardians building. It was crazy.
That's where we parked for that Ratatouille event. Remember that, Lisa?
Yep. That's all the way over to the left there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So now, one real quick, before we get out of Epcot and we're going to move on to Hollywood Studios, the thing that kind of, to me, and they haven't fixed the problem yet, was the nighttime show they had at Epcot. It was taken away. It was replaced by something temporarily. It was replaced by a great show that had so much steel involved in it. And that's already closed. So we're waiting for the new show.
When you say great, you mean horrible. But that's okay. It's one person's opinion.
I don't think that great means what you think it does.
It was great as in it was big.
All of us quoting Princess Bride.
You keep using that word.
So,
do not think you know what it means.
Disappeared. Harmonious was brought in, and Harmonious is now gone. They're going to be bringing a new show, and we haven't seen it yet. We haven't even heard a lot of real intense details yet.
We don't even know the name.
No, right now we just have the temporary Epcot Forever.
Right, the one they had between the Illuminations and Harmonious, they don't even have the Wave Runners or the jet skis. So what fun is that?
And I Illuminations was the better of the two, but I wasn't hating on Harmonious like everybody else was.
The soundtrack is phenomenal. Yeah, the show itself and that steel being in Epcot during the
I hated Stargate during the day. Stargate during the day was like horrible.
So ugly. It made all of your pictures so ugly.
And the fountain never worked. I saw the fountain before it opened up, like a couple months before the show opened up. The fountain was working in the daytime on top of the steel. I never saw it work again after that. Who's got the dog?
That's my dog, and I'm trying to mute myself so I can.
That poor guy. What is it, a hound?
You heard you talking about Harmonious and saying you thought it was great. I'm like, that dog's speaking to my soul right now about Harmonious.
Being yelled at by a dog for liking Harmonious. Jeez.
And the last thing with Epcot before we leave it is Space 220, the new table service restaurant they brought into Future World, which is another one of those set price menus. It's got a very limited menu. But I would still recommend it for the experience one time. Definitely get in there.
I think the menu is limited, but I think it's a good menu.
It's a great menu.
There's kind of a little something there for everybody. Yeah, and I think the food was really good. So I don't, you know, I think if you look at the menu, I think if Lisa pulled up the menu, you could probably find something to be like, yeah, I would probably eat that, you know.
Good point. Yeah, they cover they cover the beef, the fish, the chicken pretty well. Yeah. And
it's well done. It's vegetarian. Not.
But like one or two per. Or one per.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hollywood Studios we saved for last. I think kind of because a lot happened in this place. And it took a good part of the decade where they announced and told us all about it and started breaking ground and bringing it to us. And then they released it in sections and we were just loving it. So first, let's talk Toy Story Land. That was the first land that was opened over there. That basically, and here's where we get some sadness, because the new attractions we're talking about took over some really old, dear, favorite attractions.
Absolutely.
The first ride at Hollywood Studios, the only ride they opened with, was the Backlot Tour. And that was a big chunk of real estate for both of these lands. And
you know, it's funny that you bring up that first, because at Disneyland Paris at Walt Disney Studios in their mini Cars Land, that one of the rides has a scene that you go through that is like Backlot Express with the truck and the water and the fire and I don't,
Catastrophe Canyon was what that
yes,
was
yes, that's Catastrophe it. Catastrophe Canyon. Thank you very much. I couldn't
exactly
remember
how fantastic that attraction was from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I forget that's that in the Streets of America. I really think the last time I was walking, I was in Streets of America was for the back when they had the Osborne lights there.
Rest in peace.
Even just the queue, when you walk through the warehouse that had all the props and stuff in it.
Yes.
Just walking through there was or fantastic. They had so much cool stuff just to look around and all these movie props and stuff. It was amazing.
And they kept updating it with like current movies and stuff. So it was really cool in that regard. So that went away and they brought in, I can complain a little bit, but I think Toy Story Land was exactly what it was portrayed to be. It came in incredible. The way they miniaturized us and let us run around Andy's backyard was pretty cool. The rides themselves cover a lot of the bases as far as people go, but you got to admit they're basically kind of a kid's age attractions.
It's just too bad that Andy's backyard is in the middle of Texas in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Well, they really spent all the budget on the attractions and none on shade.
Right.
Which, and you can kind of bring some umbrellas, and they do have
on the Baby Bell seats over at Woody's Lunchbox, but it is like walking on the surface of the sun over there.
Yeah.
It's rough.
And what they didn't realize in the design was how long that line was going to be on Slinky Dog for, like, ever.
Right.
It continues to be the main line until Star Wars Land opened up, or Batuu, as it's more commonly called.
Galaxy's Edge.
Right. One of the best things I remember was being on the Slinky Dog roller coaster just to be able to see over the fence.
Yep. Yes.
You could see the spires, the black spire roller coaster. Right. You were like, oh, it's coming along. It's coming right again.
The camera over my head as we're going down the hill. So that gives you an idea of how much we all kind of like Galaxy's Edge. My wife is not a big Star Wars fan, but she was so impressed with Galaxy's Edge. It was just so immersive. She thought that she was in Star Wars. And that was the big theme of the place. It didn't hurt that they had two of the best rides added to it. They kicked butt as far as that went in the Millennium Falcon ride and the Rise of Resistance. And even the choices of stores in that area are incredible. The restaurants are pretty okay.
Yeah, the restaurants are good.
The transition between lands is really good. And I still, despite what people may think, I still think they'll close that gap between Star Tours and Galaxy's Edge and dump Grand Avenue and
Mickey or the Muppets.
Baseline. Yep. I I think it just feels a little out of place, but I do like
it. Does. I agree.
I think they'll close that gap someday. I think that they'll find that they're going to have to, but for now,
it's the planet.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm a huge Muppets fan. I get it.
It's the planet of the Muppets in the Star Wars galaxy is what you got to figure.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
We need Muppets in space. Yeah. What a great transition.
Right. And I was actually looking at that area the other day, and I was like kind of really, really looking back at the time when they had the Avenue of America there, just because there was, and it wasn't really much more in storefronts for the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was just like so cool walking down that street. It was a studio. You remembered it was a studio.
I will admit that some of my favorite memories of Disney trips happened on Avenue with Osborne Lights. Sure. When my mom, my adoptive mom, was diagnosed terminally ill and decided that we were all going to go to have Christmas at Disney. And her standing there and us all holding hands and looking at those lights together, knowing it was our last Christmas together. Mm-hmm. I will never, ever, ever forget that. And I miss Osborne so much. And Writer's Stop, which is where Baseline is now.
Oh, right. Yep.
When Katie, my youngest, was homeschooling, and we spent that entire month at Fort Wilderness and did all of the youth education series classes, we would go into Hollywood Studios and she would take her workbooks and I would take a book and we'd go to Writer's Stop and sit for hours while she did her schoolwork. And then when she was done, we'd go play. And it was usually she wanted to ride Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster after she was done. And that's what we did.
That's the reward for getting the work done. Yeah,
absolutely. Nice. And I mean, those are like Inside Out core memories, you know. Sure. I'll never, those will be with me forever. And I miss that those are gone. I love what we have now, but I wish they had been able to keep some of that. Osborne Lights was just so magical for so many people. Yeah. And yeah, I miss much. That.
And as you were talking about that, one of the things we forgot to mention was the whole stunt show that was taken out too.
Oh, right.
Which Paris still has.
Lights, motor action.
I was going to mention that because that was actually like one of my favorite shows for the longest time. Like when I was in Hollywood, I had to see that show. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, like I like cars and I like the vroom and, you know, too much Fast and Furious in my life. I just had to see.
Sure.
You know, the show. So I
absolutely
was, so that plus Osborne being gone was sad, but yeah, I mean, I can't be mad that the show's gone, because we got Batu, we got Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sure, like
very much so.
And I'd be, you know, to think that there's a little homage in Galaxy's Edge to Lights, Motors, Actions on the Speedster. Yeah. And then also in Baseline, there's an homage to the Writer's Stop. So
yeah, absolutely.
Cool, that's cool that they do those little things.
He is, but he's fine. Don't take it away. He's happy.
Yeah, I do appreciate that we do get those homages. And we also get to build new core memories. Like, you know, in January, I got to take my dad to Galaxy's Edge, and he's the reason I like sci-fi. And being able to ride, you know, the Millennium Falcon with my dad is something that will live with me for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's happy and sad at the same time, because you miss the memories that you made and what was gone, but you're happy you get to make all these new memories and all this new stuff, too.
Absolutely.
So we're going through 10 years of changes here at Walt Disney World. And when you think about it, in 10 years, all four parks went through a pretty substantial transformation for the most part. Mm-hmm. Epcot's still in the middle of it. You know, there's still some dust kicked up over there.
Right.
And we know that we'll see something. Yeah, we know we'll see something soon, hopefully. But what we've gotten so far has been fantastic. Is there... of the expansions that you've seen, is there one that you're like, no, I wish that didn't happen? Or are you of the belief that yeah, the change kind of stunk, but what I got was I like what we got.
I think I'm always, you know, and historically, like, I know it's really easy when something's going away to be upset about it. And I think over the years, I've always said, you know, I'm willing to wait and see what they come up with, because I don't think they typically get it wrong. I think they typically get it right. So I always give them the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think that I've been really disappointed. Don't get me wrong. There's some things like the Great Movie Ride that I hated to see go away.
I was going through my head while you were saying
yes.
I think that's probably the only one that's stuck.
But with that being said, look, we've also got to remember that they're making these changes not just for us, but the generation that's coming up. And a lot of that generation has no idea about a lot of those things. So right. Although all those great movies and the Great Movie Ride were very nostalgic and touched us, a lot of these kids today don't know who Clint Eastwood is, or, you know, so it's
John Wayne.
Historically, though, when Disney has made changes to a park, and I use Hollywood Studios as a great example of this, where that was a park that was thrill rides, right? When I was growing up, when I was a teenager and into young, you know, early 20s, and, you know, that must have been last year. that was, oh, I want to go to a park and enjoy some thrill rides. Star Tours was like the first of its kind, and then right. You were going on Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror, and you were just on this constant cycle of all this stuff that, you know, hey, the slowdown and all the old movies, all this stuff that, yeah, I remember this, and yeah, this is Alien, wow, this is scary, and Wizard of Oz, everybody's seen Wizard of Oz, and you go through these attractions. But was there really anything for little kids? And there really wasn't. Yeah. There really wasn't a ton for little kids. So now, okay, so you're right. You bring along Toy Story Land. Yeah. And doesn't that dry?
Well, they had Animation Courtyard. What more do you want for kids? Stuff them in that little area.
Put them in that one studio. And you bring along Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Don't stand in the corner.
But to the point I'm trying to make is, then there was a balance of, let's bring in Galaxy's Edge, which is not going to appeal. I mean, it might appeal to little kids, but truly it's people our age.
Yeah.
That are just fiending to experience Galaxy's Edge.
It's interesting that you say that, because we just talked a little bit about that, about World Showcase. And that, I think that's where the IP comes in. And the same thing, that they bring in a little bit of balance to it, because before it was all educational, which is great. And I enjoyed that. Even as a kid, I enjoyed that, but I was a nerd. But most kids are not going to enjoy that. They're going to think it's boring and not want to be there. So even if you're an adult back there having a great time in World Showcase, the worst thing you want to hear is bored kids screaming.
Right.
So it's good to have that balance and have a little something for everyone.
They've brought balance to the Force.
whoa.
You know what I think is
an
added layer to the lands, especially that they've put in Hollywood Studios. There's an emotional component that they have tied to these, because Toy Story Land, the movies really appealed to the kids, but they also really appealed to the parents, because they watched it and saw their kids playing with their toys, and especially that last Toy Story movie. Ooh, hello.
The third one sent me for a nasty loop. I probably needed like months and months of therapy.
Yes, so much therapy. Andy went to college, I was done, exactly, because my kids are grown now.
I need to be carried out of the movie theater. Nobody understood why I was a mess. I'm like, I'm Andy, I did that.
Weeping. And then there's Galaxy's Edge has done something that, you know, we compare a lot to Universal, and especially Hogwarts and the Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and how immersive that is. But Star Wars did something, and it brought our generation and our kids' generation together. And we, before trips, and we're taking the kids, we're now introducing them to the movies that we were watching as little kid when Star Wars came out, or however old you are. I cut my teeth on the first Star Wars movie. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying there. Yep. So definitely. That love for Star Wars, we're now able to give to our kids. And I have a 9-year-old granddaughter, so I'm able to give that to her now. And so it has closed this generational thing. And I can be in Galaxy's Edge and I can see a family walk in and it's their first time walking into Galaxy's Edge. And I look at one of the parents' face. It's usually the dad, because most of the time.
Oh, the wow factor.
The wow factor, and he's got tears in his eyes, and I look at him telling his kids, like, oh my gosh, this is what I dreamed of. And you know, we go to Oga's, and how many times when we were watching the movie when we were younger that we wanted to be in a Mos Eisley cantina? Like, I mean, there's just so much of that, and it's closed this whole generational thing. And I just think they these are the reasons why we keep coming back to Disney, why we keep watching Disney movies. It's those emotional ties. I mean, it's the heart. Disney speaks to our heart in so many different ways and levels, and they did that with these parks, with these expansions.
Yeah, 100%.
They made them that immersive. It's going to be interesting to see the Epcot opening around the fountain, because that's not going to be themed after a specific idea other than the fountain or whatever they called that. So it'll be interesting how that goes. I guess Moana is part of it, though. But yeah, I guess the big question is, what's next? Which park is going to be next?
I feel like we're going to get more, not just IP, but also with them acquiring 20th Century and all these, we're going to get some IP from other things too that are not specifically like Disney Pixar, which I personally am excited about as the childless millennial of the group that doesn't have the kids to take. I mean, like, one thing that's cool about them bringing all this other IP, like Galaxy's Edge, Guardians, all that, is my boyfriend, who, yes, he likes Disney, but he's definitely more the Star Wars and Marvel. It's like, okay, cool. He's not going to judge me as badly when I'm like, let's go to the parks. I want to go to Disney. Like, he kind of gets it a little bit because he's kind of got his fandom as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool.
So I'm going to ask Ed's question because I feel like it needs to be asked, only because I've got two answers that we didn't talk about at all.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I told you my cat ate my homework.
It's been tough to get any of those in. We've been going so well. Go ahead.
So what do you think has made the biggest impact at Disney World in the last decade? And believe it or not, the two answers that I have are, well, one would fractionally be considered an attraction. The other one is not an attraction at all. So,
right.
Anybody have any thoughts before?
Well, I want to hear yours first.
Really? So I'll give you both of mine just right off the bucket. The first is the Skyliner.
Yeah, that was on my list.
So I think the Skyliner's done a lot of different things. It's added a mode of transportation, which I think is entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it's added a way or access to 1, 2, 3, 4 different resorts that for the most part, most people probably would never see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With Caribbean Beach, Riviera, Pop, and Art of Animation. Unless they're staying there, odds are really good they'll never go see those. Yeah. I think it gives them access. And it's an attraction within itself.
Yeah.
Like, there are days that I could go and park at Hollywood Studios and just ride the Skyliner.
Yeah, I think love
it's
it.
I think it's a very good point, because you get things like with the old monorail resort. A lot of people go tour those resorts, especially around Christmas. So you're right that the Skyliner kind of gives you that same type of deal with some other resorts that aren't monorail resorts, but they're Skyliner resorts. So it makes it easy to go tour. I actually did that. I had never been to Riviera, and I was at Studios with Morgan and her mom, and they were going back to the room for something, and we were meeting up, I think, at Springs. So rather than I just hopped on the Skyline. I went and walked around Riviera for a little while, and then hopped on a bus and rode over to Springs to go meet them. But I had never been to Riviera, so I just went and walked around the lobby, went to see the big murals that are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's nice. We've done
it. It was totally worth my time just to go take a walk around and see all that stuff.
Which I still haven't done. I got to do that.
So my second one, equally a piece of technology, but a different piece of technology. And 10 years ago, we didn't have My Disney Experience.
True.
Right. True. 10 years ago, we couldn't trust the Disney's computer system on.
Fair enough. And I'll just one more added piece to that. And I bring up My Disney Experience, but what truly was on my list is virtual queue to me has totally changed the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only if they start using it correctly. I don't think they have Universal's like knowledge of how to use virtual queues to the best that it will help everybody out. You know what I'm saying? Where Disney uses it for their new rides, and we were all surprised when they kept Guardians on the virtual queue when Tron opened. But Universal Studios, they use virtual queue on purpose, and they use it during crowd control times too. There's right. times when you get virtual queues for like a half a dozen rides. And you kind of work your day around that. Yeah. That makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they don't have the same Genie Plus system you could pay for that Disney does. So I could see where there's different ways to do it. So
yeah, and
I miss fast passes. I miss those damn paper freaking fast passes.
Me too.
I mean.
Well, I was gonna ask that. Do you think My Disney Experience has really helped us? Or would you go back to just paper fast passes?
My Disney Experience gives me information right away that I never would have had for a lot of different things.
but is it useful?
Yeah.
I feel like it has gotten better. Like when it first came out, it was still kind of like, let me still jump on touring plans or
right.
You know, mm-hmm. one of the other third parties. But
yeah, I mean, it's still evolving. And I think it's evolved well. Sure.
Maps are accurate.
Yeah, and I think Universal's virtual queue, they almost use that in place of Genie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Universal has its own express lane, but Disney couldn't. If Disney tried to charge with Universal, people freaked the hell out about $15 a day for Disney for Genie Plus. Could you imagine if it was $150 a day per person?
On top of the ticket, yeah.
On top of your ticket, because that's what Universal charges. So if Disney tried to do that, it would be, oh my God. Oh, right. Walt's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
He wanted the parks to be for everyone for free.
Yeah.
Or rotisserie roll.
Yeah.
I tell you what, as far as an impact goes, yeah, that's funny.
It's true. Well, Walt rolls over in his grave so much these days.
He's on a rotisserie.
Boston Market got nothing on Walt.
Okay, so as far as the impact goes, I got to go back with what we started talking about. I think how they're doing the immersive lands now, as opposed to just doing like ride updates, is pretty incredible. And I think they're going to continue doing that as we, you know, as we move on. I don't think they can not do that, to be honest with you. On occasion, well, yeah, we're definitely going to see a clunker ride get pulled out and, you know, another ride thrown in there or attraction.
Well,
but, you know, for the most part, it's your land. And now you got to see where the land is, what's available and what, like right now, some of us are talking about Magic Kingdom. Let's fill in the Rivers of America, make that amount of space back there when you do that gives you an opportunity to get around behind the roller coaster and
but we just talked about Thunder Mountain in Disneyland Paris, how it goes underneath the waterways to give you access to other things. They don't have to get rid of it to build a little tunnel to get you there.
Big Thunder wouldn't go
away. You need a school gear in order to go underneath that body of water.
Yeah, you don't.
You're already below sea level.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. I'm just saying, it's a matter of finding the land and what they're
gonna call it Orlando Sea.
And that's gonna be another show. We're gonna have definitely shows about this. our predictions.
I would say Magic Bands have also been, you know, a major impact. Like that's one thing I would say Universal's flaw is they're still doing paper tickets. But I love having a Magic Band. Obviously, if you have, you know, an Apple Watch or an Apple phone, you can have your ticket.
Well, And I tell you what, the Magic Bands, I agree with that. In the last like 3 or 4 years, where they can actually use the information they scan from your band to help you out. Gift services, they are actually not even guest services, even just walking in the park. They have that little device. They scan your band. Parking, they scan your band. They know you're a whole annual pass holder. They let you in. So it does carry the information. You get into your room with your Magic Band. So yeah, those latter type of things they brought up were awesome. Originally, I think it was just a kind of a cool thing to have. The Magic Band Plus, I'm not thinking that's a great thing yet. It's cool to see it light up. It was fun doing the game over at Galaxy's Edge, but until they do some more fun stuff with the Magic Band Plus, I think it's kind of expensive for what they're giving you.
But think about what you just said. Like initially when Magic Bands first came out, they were okay. Kind of same thing what we're thinking with Magic Band Plus now. They're kind of okay. So I feel like
hopefully
we're going to get greater. More stuff. Yeah,
I will, just got to stick with it.
I will tell you, I can do everything the Magic Band can do with my phone or a smartwatch. I would still, to me, it's still just more convenient to have the band on. I'm not worried about the band falling off. It's $10.
Charging
not,
it.
I don't have to worry about taking my phone out of my pocket. I don't have to worry about tapping, having the app open, all this other stuff. It's so much more convenient to have the Magic Band on my wrist.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I do with my phone now is open my room just because I want that little pixie dust sound effect. Everything else is Magic Band. Well, I just want to hear that sound effect.
My Disney experience on my phone, so I do it for that. But yeah, you're right. Most of it's on the Magic Band, which is great.
So I had an answer to this question about what was something that impacted Disney the most in the past 10 years. And it doesn't have anything, honestly, to do with the parks or attractions or anything, but it has made a huge impact. And that honestly is the COVID pandemic. We have seen a lot of changes because of the pandemic, things that they've had to, you know, come up with and change. We now have virtual food ordering.
Great.
I love that. That's exactly. We have the reservation system, which can be good, can be bad. I don't know. I don't hate it.
Though. It is going away. So.
It is going away. But at the same time, it's helped them control crowd levels. And
my quick thing on the reservations is the same people who complain about the park reservations complain about they want to go back to 3 fast passes a day, which you're basically setting a park reservation. If I set 3 fast passes at Magic Kingdom, I'm basically telling them I'm going to Magic Kingdom that day.
Yep.
So I just think that has had a big and we're going to see the impact of the pandemic in years to come because it has made them rethink certain ways that we do things.
Sure.
And that is definitely, to me, one of the biggest things that has changed Disney parks over the past 10 years.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. But I'd like to see more live entertainment come back to the parks.
Street
Sphere characters and Hollywood Studios were great. And, you know, I'd like to see the guys back in France, the acrobats that climbed the tables and all that. That was such a cool thing just to, if you happened upon it. The guy, the mime, the juggler mime, he's back. And then the band in UK is back, but there's still some stuff missing that I wish they would get back to.
Sure.
I wish that they would get back to the things that we had, and especially the Food and Wine Festival, the cooking classes.
The mixology and
the mixology. Sure. All I forgot about that those. Was. Those were so fantastic. And I know that whole building is gone because that's where Guardians of the Galaxy is now. But we have another building they could put it in.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Nope.
Guardians of the Galaxy is in Showplace.
World Showplace is still there.
Wonders of Life Pavilion.
You're right. It is Wonders of Life.
Next time you go over there, check it out because they cut down a lot of trees and it's actually odd where it sticks out like a sore thumb now. The big gold dome. I don't know what they were thinking when they did that. I don't know if it was happening when Guardians or it was after Guardians, but I was like, wow, that really sticks out now. They've got the bushes in front of the pathways. You can't get close to it.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Those were great. On the opposite side of Epcot, though, they have that other building.
World Showplace.
Yeah, where they're...
Yeah, next to Canada.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I got that confused with that.
UK was closed down. That's a huge building. That could be perfect for that.
Oh, they had, I mean, during the pandemic, they did all kind of stuff in there. I mean, they did a bunch of food booths in there.
Yeah,
they
the mac and cheese was in there.
They had musicians in there. I know Miss Carol played in there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They did the merch store in the front of there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they could totally switch that up and do the workshops for every festival, not just food and wine.
Yes, right.
The garden had festivals, right. So.
And actually, that was a good one because we did that a couple of years in a row for our meetups at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
The
2014. Now we can actually pick it now. It's 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
2016, you know, in the beginning.
And they had the contest between the different resort bakeries and things, the chocolate creations.
Yeah, but nice there used to be like those a back. Chocolate confectionery, like. Display Ghirardelli was sponsoring that.
Ghirardelli's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you could have place. That drinking chocolate.
Yep. Oh, yum! Yes.
Okay, guys. Well, on that note, what did we miss? What were some of the big things that have happened over the last decade as you've been listening to the Disney Nerds podcast? Let us know. Send us an email. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with us.
Finish dinner.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 499 of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thank you so much for listening. For Jimmy, for Lisa, for Morgan, and for Charlotte, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
So long, everybody.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Just keep swimming.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Yeah.
But I did not, I had a really hard time trying to figure out what by definition I would call an attraction that disappeared in the last 10 years that I would really, really miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I then ended up thinking and going, you know what, I came up with three and all three of them are kind of different functions of an attraction.
Street Miss Veer characters.
Main Street Electrical Parade is one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wishes.
Wishes, for sure. Star Wars Weekends.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but you get that 24, well, not 24/7, but you get that like every day now.
Someone's no, it's different because it was special. It's not sure the same.
That's the event was part of it. The event was different than.
What was the other question? What do you miss? What did I say? What was the
What was the biggest change? What had impacted Walt Disney World the most
last decade?
Yeah. You know what? What I'll do is, as I'm going through the different things, we can kind of judge the importance of it, how we felt it was over what it took over, maybe as we're discussing. Because we'll be going.
I came up with two completely different things, but I think they had a huge impact. But yeah,
I did too.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, good. Then we will talk about it.
Okay.
And for the rest of us without, we will come up with one.
And then for real life, my third thing on what is most missed that probably nobody here took advantage of or ever did, but you did the smaller version of it. And I think the smaller version of it is still available is Sorcerer's of Magic Kingdom. I'm devastated that that's gone.
Oh, I loved that so much. I'm glad. I'm sad that's gone too. I love that. So when I was thinking of attractions, I wasn't thinking of any of those things. So I'm glad that you brought that up because now my brain is...
Yeah.
And to circle back to
your brain was woo before we started.
A lot long before that. the attraction that's gone that I missed. You really don't know the answer to that, Jimmy? Can anybody else guess?
Splash Mountain?
No.
Great movie ride.
That was your favorite.
No. Not in the last 10 years, not in the last decade, but overall.
Oh. Mr. Toad?
Mr. Toad.
Yeah. I was in
Was that in the last 10 years, though?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't really have one in the last 10.
Yeah.
I even looked at Snow White's Scary Adventure, but it's actually like 11 years.
Okay. Yeah.
They got rid of it. So it's, but it's close.
Right. You never think about
Ed and his damn 10-year rule.
Yeah. I'll save that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get going.
All right. Let's record.
We're already recording.
It is recording. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to show number 499 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. For Jimmy, for Lisa, for Morgan, and for Charlotte, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
So long, everybody.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Just keep swimming.
You know, if anything I'm more proud of over the last 10 years is us getting that shit right at the end of the show.
I haven't recorded in so long that I was like, wait, how do we do this now? Oh, wait, it's in order. Shit, what name did he say before me? Jimmy.
What's my tagline again?